Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. I'm glad to be here. This is Lori Smith. This is One Child Abuse Survivor to Another. And we're just looking at information from Avoca, finishing up looking at healthy boundaries, setting healthy boundaries. And as adult survivors of child abuse, it's very important to learn how to do that. So that's, we've been looking at this article for a long time. And we're kind of finishing it up. There's only maybe maybe one more show after this left, and we'll be finished. But it's really worth taking a look at, I thought. And so, yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I appreciate it. And I don't know who you all are, but I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to my shows, and hopefully the information's helping you out. You know, that's the main goal. You know, not only just, you know, it's not just about me getting on here and gabbing, you know. I was hoping that this information would be helpful for people, because I know it helps me out, helps me stay on my healing journey, and, you know, gets me working on things that I may put off or not even think about doing. So hopefully that's helping you out too. So, yeah, we can just make sure that we're safe enough. If you're a survivor of abuse and you're not sure how far along you are in your healing journey, and you're just starting out, or you're not sure if you're safe enough to be listening to something like this, you need to make sure that you're safe enough just, you know, by getting the information. You can get that information from lots of places. NASCA has it, NAASCA. I'm a volunteer with NASCA.org, National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. And the ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse and Morris Center Program, has a Survivor to Thriver workbook, and that has a whole Safety First chapter on it. And you can read that and know, you know, to find out whether or not you'd be safe enough to listen to something like this. And then, if you know, and, you know, you'll know what to recognize in yourself to know whether you're strong enough or feeling capable enough to handle information like this. Listening to my show or anybody else's show dealing with this type of material, especially, you know, with abuse and child abuse issues and stuff. So, because you don't want to have a bad night and, you know, end up regressing backwards in your healing journey and maybe possibly hurting yourself or hurting somebody else. You really don't want that. So make sure you're safe. If you're not, just turn the show off, and it won't be hurting my feelings at all. And anybody else, listen at your own discretion. I'm talking about abuse, and specifically focusing on child abuse issues and adult survivors issues. And so you have to listen at your own discretion. And ultimately, you know, it's your choice, so you make the right choice for yourself, right? So we'll pick up this article where we left off. I didn't do a show last week. How am I doing on my healing journey? Actually, I've been kind of going a little bit backwards in it, I think. I'm regressing a little bit last couple of weeks. Last weekend, I actually took the I didn't do the show last Monday. I moved it up so that for another show, because I wasn't feeling well physically, which then kind of brought me down emotionally, because my hips are really messed up, and one of my hips actually almost gave out on me, and it's just been causing me so much pain. My whole body's just been given me a lot of trouble lately. So it's been difficult. I'm facing, you know, an older age now, and I've got so many issues, health issues, as far as my bones and skeletal situation going, and muscles and all kinds of problems like that. So I was kind of depressed, you know, last weekend because I missed going out. I was invited to a friend of mine's for dinner, and I couldn't go because it was so painful for me to walk. I couldn't go for dinner, so just a little down, you know, sitting around kind of feeling sorry for myself. I didn't do any work on my healing journey at all. I just kind of took it easy. I did get some extra rest and stuff. I worked 6 days last week, busy working and working on my feet, which was then causing me a lot of pain with my body. So I was just in a lot of pain the last few weeks, and it's emotional pain, but it was mainly physical pain, but it was also some emotional pain because of the physical pain, because I know where those wounds come from. So I know that the abuse that I suffered as a child is the wounds, and the problems I have with my hips and my bones are all really just a leftover from the abuse that I suffered as a child. So it just kind of brought me down a little bit. But that's okay, because I'm all right, and I got extra rest last couple of nights, and I went to bed early, and focusing on what I need to take care of, and just staying afloat of any type of depression or anything like that. I'm kind of just above that, you know. I'm not allowing myself to sink down into a depression or anything like that, and so I'm holding in there pretty good. But I'm glad to be back here tonight, and so we'll get started with this article. But yeah, well, this is something we can always ask ourselves, you know, how we're doing on our healing journey. Take a look, sort of an inward reflection, to see how we're doing, whether we need to work on some things or reach out for help or whatever it is. You know, take a minute to think about it, right? So this article is from HAVOCA, H-A-V-O-C-A, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse. This is it's under their Information for Survivors tab. It's called Personal Boundaries, and we're looking at the Help Sheet section. And the next section up here is called Self-Empowerment. I'm just reading right from their website. So you can go there if you want to, and you can check it out, HAVOCA.org, and you can take a look at this article on your own time, and it's really worth looking at. Self-empowerment: when you look outside yourself for self-definition and self-worth, you are giving your power away and setting yourself up to be a victim. Society has trained you to be a victim, so you have been taught to give your power away. So they're saying, when we look outside ourselves for self-definition and self-worth, we're giving our power away and setting ourselves up to be a victim. Well, in a way, I mean, that's true, because if we're looking, which people do, this is just a natural situation for human beings to look to, for somebody else to define us. That's why we want people to like us, right? Or that we want people to think that we're worthy, or whatever, like they're talking about, self-worth, self-definition. But if we're looking outside of ourselves for that, you know, we're giving our power away. Basically, that's true, because not everybody's, we're always going to run into some people that don't like us or don't feel that we're worthy or whatever. Coming from abuse, you know, growing up abused as a child and a youth, you know, that was very important for me to be accepted by my family. Right? But it was never going to happen. Not in my situation, because both of my parents were my abusers and one of my brothers, and it was just very dysfunctional. And so no one in our family was giving any kind of, you know, anything positive. There was nothing positive coming from that situation. It was absolutely horrific. And so, you know, I couldn't get anything like that from them. So outside of my family, if I found people that actually liked me or, you know, paid any attention that was decent, good, kind attention to me, you know, I kind of latched onto them because I was like, wow, this is what I need. But it's true. We really have to not pay so much attention to what other people think of us, you know, because does it really matter what other people think of us? I got over that when I was like older, when I started hitting especially my teen years, I started to realize that It didn't matter to me what anybody thought, because everybody was in my family, and not everybody in the world. Everybody in my home was running me down. Not only that, but just the abuse that I survived from my parents and my brother, who sexually abused me, caused me a lot of problems and a lot of identity problems. You know, I just didn't, I didn't want to be a woman, you know. I didn't want to be anything, no sex, period. I didn't want people to look at me. I felt funny when people looked at me. I thought they were looking at me in an abusive way, because that's just what was going on in my home. So I just figured that everybody was like the same as my family, right? That's how I grew up. So as I got older, I started to realize that's not true. There was good people out there, you know, here and there. You know, I'd run into somebody who kind of showed me that, that there are good people in the world. And I started to realize that it didn't, you know, my own family was never going to accept me. So I needed to really not worry about that. But it still hurt, and it still does, you know what I mean, to a certain extent. But I don't let that define me. So as far as looking outside for self-definition and self-worth, you know, I know that I'm worthy, you know, to be on this planet, and that I have every right to have a good life that like everybody else has, you know, and be treated decently and with respect and care and concern. And you know, especially because if I do that, and that's how I live my life, and I treat other people with respect and decency and care and concern and, you know, and dignity, that common decency and human dignity that we all deserve to be treated with, then I would expect that back, you know. So if I don't get it, then I kind of blow people off really quickly, because I'm like, look, you know, I've already spent a whole lot of years being mistreated and abused by a lot of people in my family, and I really am not taking anything else from anybody else. So I'll give people the benefit of the doubt, because I want people to trust me too. And then, you know, after they show me their true colors, you know, depending on which way it goes, if they're not going to treat me decently, I'm gone, or they're out of my life or whatever. Because I am deserving of love. I am deserving of care. I am deserving of being treated decently. And I didn't deserve to be abused, and neither did you. And we have to make sure that, you know, we're not looking for other people to define us, to see if we're worthy enough. You know, are we good enough? Are we okay enough, right? It's like so much of the world wouldn't have a good opinion, and even if they knew us, wouldn't have a good opinion, right? We have to not worry about what other people think, and that's what I started to do when I got older. In my mid-teens, I guess maybe late teens, I was like, I developed a sort of an attitude of screw the world. And even me and my best friend used to say stuff like that, you know. It's like, we didn't say that, but we say the F word, you know. We're just, you know, angry teens coming from an abusive situation. And, you know, it's like, I was like, you know, I don't need the world to tell me that I'm worthy to be alive, you know. I mean, I was made to, my mother actually used to tell me that I didn't deserve to be alive. And some of my siblings did too, which is really sad that my siblings would go the way that my dad actually never said anything like that to me, but my mom did. And because I was born out of marital rape. And so my mom just wanted to make sure that I knew that she didn't love me and didn't want me, and I didn't deserve to be alive. Right. So some of my siblings followed suit and used to say stuff like that to me. And my sister, one of them, who was 5 years older than me, who should have known better. But she throws stuff at me, like that's why she's out of my life. She's not welcome around me because she can't behave herself. And it's like, you know, if you're going to treat me like garbage, then you can't expect that you're going to be in my life. And that's the boundary. And that's my boundary. And I don't allow people to abuse me. No, I don't. And, you know, as a child, I was forced to take what I had to take, and, you know, there wasn't really much I could do about it. But now as an adult, I definitely have to set those boundaries. It's really important. So they go on to say, they said, there's this one section that is just like repeating stuff, so I'm not going to even repeat that. But this next section is becoming a friend to yourself. Learning to set boundaries is a vital part of learning to communicate in a direct and honest manner. It is impossible to have a healthy relationship with someone who has no boundaries, with someone who cannot communicate directly and honestly. Learning how to set boundaries is a necessary step in learning to be a friend to yourself. It is your responsibility to take care of yourself, to protect yourself when it's necessary. It's impossible to learn to be loving to yourself without owning yourself and owning your rights and responsibilities as a co-creator of your life. Becoming a friend to yourself. That's very important. You know, we have to be the ones to make these decisions. Like, nobody can do it for us, you know. How we're going to allow people to treat us and what we're going to allow in our life, you know, is very important. Because if we don't know, you know, if we don't believe that we have the power to actually stand up for ourselves and to make these right choices for ourselves, then the abuse, it just opens the door to more abuse and more mistreatment. And in the beginning of this whole article, way, way back, weeks and weeks and weeks ago, the person who wrote this article said that, you know, by setting boundaries, you know, this person was afraid that if they set a boundary, that someone would be angry with them or they wouldn't like them anymore and they wouldn't want to hang around with them, you know. And that's true, because it can happen. If you become a friend to yourself and you protect yourself and you set boundaries, and you have to set a boundary with somebody because they've crossed the line or whatever, it could mean losing that person or losing that job or losing that relationship or whatever it is, you know. And people then say, well, then if I lost that friend, you know, well, if I lose my friend, well, then I won't have any friends. It's like, well, for me, it's better to not have friends who are hurtful and abusive. I'd rather be on my own, in other words. Like, it would be better for me to not have people around me who are gonna overstep those boundaries that I've set and be abusive or rude or whatever the situation is. I'd rather be on my own than just have a bunch of abusive, obnoxious people around me. And I do spend a lot of time on my own, but that doesn't mean I don't have any good friends. I actually have some really good friends, and, you know, we're just busy. Everybody's busy. We're all older adults and busy with our lives. But I have some really good friends, and I've made some really good friends. So I've proven to myself that I can maintain relationships, you know, which is a great thing, because I decided that, because, you know, I grew up abused, I didn't want to treat people the way that I don't like to be treated, you know, abusively and hurtful. And so when I especially hit my 30s, you know, I decided I'd change my ways and expect from other people that they were going to treat me right, and I would do the same for them. And it, you know, I mean, I've made some mistakes along the way, but I normally spot it. If I don't spot it right away, I do eventually. And then I apologize for it, because nobody's perfect, right? But the issue is like, we have to decide what kind of lifestyle we're going to live and who we're going to let in our lives. You know, it's very, very important. And it's like, do we want to live a life of more abuse and more trauma, or do we want to get out of that cycle and have a decent life? You know, I'm glad I made that decision a long time ago. I actually did that long before I started my healing journey. My healing journey just all started basically at the age of 42, because I was spiraling downward into a suicidal depression. It wasn't because of my life choices that I was, you know, being abused or anything as an adult. Like, I have really done well to keep abusive people away from me as an adult, because I decided, like, I'm not going to spend the rest of my life being abused by somebody. Like, that's ridiculous, you know. What I realized, like, what my parents had done to me was wrong, what they did to my other siblings was wrong, and then what my brother had done to me was wrong, you know, and that it never should have happened. And that as an adult, I have to take steps, you know, to learn, like they said, you know, to set boundaries. We have to take those necessary steps to learn to be a good friend to ourselves. You know, I mean, I decided I did not want to live a life of complete destruction, because my childhood was destroyed by my parents. And then the early part of my youth, you know, until I hit the age of becoming an adult, you know, under those situations and circumstances. Then I didn't do well until about the age of 22, 23, doing a lot of drugs, not taking care of myself. And I realized at that point, I was like, I'm going to end up in the gutter, dead from a drug overdose or, you know, killed in a drug deal situation or anything like that. I got off the drugs and I started to change my lifestyle. But I didn't do anything with my healing journey stuff until the age of 42. So it was a long road of not denial, but just kind of just not doing well. You know what I mean? I've never really done all that well. But the issue is I don't allow abusive people in my life, so I can sit back at the end of the day. And all the people that are in my life are really good people. And that's a choice. It's definitely a choice. I could just go out and allow myself to get into relationships with hurtful people, abusive people, people that are going to drag me down and treat me bad, and I just don't. I refuse. I'd rather sit by myself and find something to do and stay busy than to allow that kind of stuff in my life. So it's very, very important. And like they said, you know, they said here it's impossible to learn to be loving to yourself without owning yourself, your rights, your responsibilities, and, you know, to be a co-creator of your life. That's what the kind of the article is sort of focusing on. But it's quite interesting, really. It is. It's very, very important. And I still have issues with some boundary stuff, you know, because I don't really like to have to stand up for myself in a sort of a tense situation, because I'm not used to the outcome working in my favor. Because being abused as a child, I mean, I basically lost out any time I opened my mouth, you know, because if I opened my mouth, I'd get a beating for sure by my mother and my dad, but my mom was my main abuser. But, you know, if I said anything at all, I mean, it didn't really matter what I said. I'd get slapped around, and they just didn't want to hear anything coming out of my mouth. So I just basically was just shut down. As an adult, I have a little bit of difficulty expressing my needs. And even thinking that I really deserve to have my needs met in some situations. You know, I just, it's a fear, you know, and that I need to overcome, because I'm an adult now. I have rights. I'm a responsible adult. I have rights. I have equality just like everybody else. You know, like, I deserve to be treated with dignity and care and concern. And, you know, that goes with everything. Bosses, you know. Doctors, it doesn't matter who it is, you know. We should not allow ourselves to be mistreated, period, by anybody. You know, it's incredibly wrong. But people do, and it's a sad situation, you know, to maintain a friendship. Well, if I say anything, I might lose that person as a friend, you know. No, well, that person isn't your friend. If someone's abusing me, if a friend is abusive to me or taking advantage of me and or whatever the issue is, they're not a real friend. Because if you said something and they didn't change their ways, they're not a real friend. Especially if they didn't realize they were doing it. That's why, I mean, I've made mistakes in the past. And I'm, as a friend, and you know what I mean? Like, I mean, people say things and do things that are hurtful. The issue is once you recognize it, you got to make it right, you know, and let that person know, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I was wrong, whatever. But people have a real hard time with that. But if you really care about somebody, you will apologize and change your ways. If the issue, that's what I wish my parents would have done. I didn't want my parents to be, or my parents were arrested and brought up on child abuse charges, but not with me, with my older brother. But the thing is, They were brought into court, and all, you know, we had CPS around, and we were all being monitored, you know, for abuse, looking for signs. The people would come with their clipboards and check on us, you know. But the issue is I wouldn't have wanted my parents to go to jail. I didn't want to be removed from my home. And I loved my parents, right? I mean, I thought that I hated them for a long time, but when I was really little, like a little girl, you know, of course I loved my mom and I loved my dad. I wanted them to love me. I wanted them to do the right things by me, but they wouldn't do it. And that's, you know, I realized, like, because I realized that, I realized, like, especially at the age of 42, after taking a big, huge look at this whole thing that I call, you know, a life of death, really, which is, you know, being born in hell, which is what I titled all my stuff. You know, I didn't want to be like them. I was like, no, I'm not going to be like my parents. I'm going to take responsibility for my actions, for myself, for what I say, for what I do. I'm going to own my life. And that means owning my choices. That means owning my rights. It means owning what I say to people. So if I hurt somebody, I need to apologize, you know, or if I do something that hurts somebody, I need to make it right, you know, because that's what I wish my parents would have done. It would have made all the difference in the world. It would have never taken away the abuse. It wouldn't have taken away what happened, but it would have meant that they actually really did care. Because when somebody apologizes and tries to make things right, that means, you know, they care enough to do that. Right? And so that's a boundary. You know, we have to make sure that people are not hurting us, you know, in any relationship. And even if it's a work relationship, a boss or coworker or whatever, somebody's causing us difficulties, they don't have a right to do that. We have a right to protect ourselves, and we do have a right to stand up for ourselves. But it's so difficult as a survivor of abuse to stand up for ourselves, and for many abuse survivors of any type, right? Because we weren't allowed to stand up for ourselves. See, and I mean, I grew up in a situation where I was not allowed to stand up for myself at all. Because if I said anything at all to stand up for myself, I'd be beaten by my mother, especially. I mean, pummeled. Like, she would just beat the crap out of me for standing up and saying anything at all to try to exonerate myself, to explain something. I was not allowed to defend myself at all. So what that set me up for was not being able to defend myself as a young person and as an adult. So then as a teen, in order to protect myself, I became very irate and angry and pushy. And I wanted to make sure that people knew that I was not to be messed with, because I would be the one to hurt them. So that made me a terrible teenager that nobody wanted to be around. I had a few friends who were really good to me, but you know, most people just avoided me because I was toxic, you know. And I was like, you're not going to get the best of me because I'll get the best of you first, right? Basically, that's what happened. Then as an older person, I didn't want to be like that. I wanted people to like me, and I wanted to like people, and I wanted to be a good person. So then, okay, then I can't stand up for myself. You know, it's horrific what this stuff does to people. And, you know, we have to make sure that we get help with this stuff, right? I'm learning how to do it, but it's really, really slow going. I'm learning how to set boundaries and how to get my needs met, and that it's perfectly okay that I have needs. Because abused children, you know, your needs are not met. My needs were not met. My needs for safety, my needs for love and care and concern, I would say, well, physical needs definitely not met. A lot, actually, most of my physical needs, except for food. My mom and dad did feed us. They let us eat. So we were not starved. We weren't allowed to sit around just eating all the food, but we were fed. And we were, you know, we were never taken to the doctor. We were never told that we should take a bath or brush our teeth or take care of ourselves. A lot of neglect, physical abuse, you know. My needs were not met, right? So as an adult, I have a real difficult time figuring out that, yeah, it's okay to have needs and it's okay to get them met. And it's, you know, and I'm getting old, you know, like I'm pushing 54 here. It's very, very difficult. So what I would say to you, we only have about a minute left. You know, if you're a survivor of abuse and you're struggling and having a hard time, you know, I always say this on all of my shows. Please, please, please do not give up. Do not give up. That's what my abusers, if I would have given up and I would have given in and I would have just taken my life, or I would just let my life be destroyed, then I let my abusers win. But because I'm having a good life and I'm doing this right and I'm taking care of myself and I'm getting my needs met and I'm having a good life now, it's a slap in their face because they couldn't kill me. They did try to kill me several times. So, but they couldn't even get me to kill myself. And you know what? if you're struggling and having a hard time tonight and you don't know where you're going to get the next breath to come from, you call a crisis line. You call somebody. You call anybody. Call somebody at NASCA. Call somebody. Call anybody. But you get some help. And you don't ever stop calling somebody until you do get some help. Right? So, everybody have a good night, and we'll talk to you again real soon.